Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast.
Previously on Tavern Tales, our heroes have finally finished one-third of the dungeon and are on their way to the next section. Will it be as hard? Will it take just as long?
Come sit down and drink with the enemy. Raise a glass and toast to the enemy. And I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy. Raise a glass and sing to the enemy. And I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone. Cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two? I'll drink to you.
How do you get out of here?
We fly up. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, right? Like, we could fly up.
Can someone give me a lift?
I could carry you.
Fine.
Or you can climb.
Okay, the manticores start to move. What do you do?
I jump on Vulcan.
And cast fly on myself.
Okay. Say the words.
Raven Queen, grant me your feathers.
Nice.
Oh, that's fun.
And the feathers sprout out across your back and arms, yeah. And you take flight.
Flying to avoid all of the menagerie.
Leaping skyward.
Yeah.
So I've got, Vulcan's got Zuvus on his back.
I jumped in your arms like a little lady.
Oh, that wasn't really described either way. Like you said, I jump on to.
Yeah. Yeah, so you didn't say jump in my arms.
I jumped on the front like a bear.
Nice. Roar. All right.
Okay, so I guess Zuvus is attached to me like a bear cub.
Nice. So do you have your legs wrapped around his middle your arms wrapped around his shoulders and neck?
Yep.
All right, cool.
And I'm intently staring at his face.
And yeah. I'm not looking back.
I love that. Your heel. Your right foot is caught up on his loincloth because he does not wear anything else. And it is all you can think of as he starts to fly up and pound back his powerful wings with each mighty thrust. That, if you're not careful,
I'll pull it off.
That heel might very well just tug the whole loincloth free.
Right.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a tugging. The three of you fly up.
You guys okay there? You look a little tangled.
We're fine.
You fly over the manticores who begin to move around. They don't shoot at you, though, because you use the code word. You fly past the sea lions, or the dugong, as Aaron so rightly named them. You fly over the dead scorpion terrarium full of your own blood, their blood, and into the cloudy, murky water of the crayfish's domain, where they continue to still feast on the remains of the giant scorpions you fed them, and to the door. You fly down the corridor, past the secret door that glows for the person who holds the key. You take the T-intersection to the right instead of straight ahead, which is the room that has the flowing, hovering water. You fly down this corridor to the door that opens to the right, and you're just about to fly into this room, Thasis, when you realize that this is the no-fly slip-and-slide room where the webs are gone and the magic of them has floated away, and it has those two very, very deep, agonizing pits.
Right. We can't fly this one.
You land, and Vulcan sees that as Vulcan begins to fly up as well with Zuvus cinched around him. And what?
So Thasis cannot fly in this room. And would you get off of me?
Well, why don't you just take me to the other side and then drop me off and then come back and get Thasis? Why would I get off you when our trip's not done?
Fine. So Vulcan's gonna carry Zuvus across to to the other side.
Can you just roll a d20?
I mean, I can.
Yes, thank you.
You get your fare when I reach my destination.
So one.
Oh, you rolled a nat one?
I sure did.
Oh, okay. So
it kicks me off route.
No, in this instance here, I'm asking for a d20 check because I was going to set that as the difficulty for wardrobe malfunction check. But there's no way you cannot beat a one. So you will definitely not cause a wardrobe malfunction. But I'm going to award Aaron a blue gem for making me laugh with the, can you get off me now, please? So Vulcan flies into the room, carries Zuvus through the room, flies into the other door, drops Zuvus off, flies back, picks up Thasus.
Thank you.
Flies Thasus back. You have managed to get through the slip and slide room to that tiny corridor that leads down a couple of steps to where you killed all the ghouls. This place still smells and reeks to high hell because it is moldering flesh in knee-high water piled up in the middle. You recollect, hey, this is where we got all of these six amulets that we're now carrying around. And you realize that through that door, right ahead of you, is where everything that is metal will begin to heat to insane intense degrees. So rather than have you guys describe it haphazardly, all of you take off all of your metal gear. The two of you then walk down the corridor. Do you have a misty step left?
Yeah, I do.
And because you have a misty step left, you step in, you misty step your 30 feet, avoiding all of the heat, and you have resolved the entirety of this floor. You make your way back to the Gynosphinx, who comments on your lengthy departure and asks what you would like to do now.
You know, it would simplify a lot of things if we just could kill Caraptus. But seems like we've got to go on a merry treasure hunt first.
Would you like to leave the dungeon and go take a long rest and meet up with your animals, or will you continue on as you are?
I think a long rest is a very good idea.
Yeah, I'm a little sore.
You return to your animals. You take a long rest. Your animals, because that was a natural 20 check for survival to get hidden away, are still tucked nicely, safely away. You may now re-up all your hit points and spell slots. You may change any spell slots that you'd like to take for other spells for those that aren't barbarians and have spells. And you earn back 3 hit dice from your hit die pool. So you're back to 7?
Yep.
Back to 7.
Back to 7.
Wow. Well, look at you guys.
Oh, I haven't been full in so long.
I know.
Why not a long rest?
Yay! I have my spells back. I have my geniuses back. Day question. Have we reached a full day? And do I get one of my charges back for my Rod of Resurrection? Because it comes back at dawn.
No.
Okay.
All right. You return. You approach the Gynosphinx, your friend, the one who sits there upon the moldy pile of treasure. You stop just in time because the scintillating wall of force that prevented you from entering before is once again there. And the Gynosphinx looks upon you all and says, you have returned. You would be the first to clear an entire area of the dungeon and then return again. You will test your metal?
We need to find Caraptus.
To pass, you must be worthy. Answer me this. I have a tail and a head, but no body. What am I?
The new debt riddle.
Our players sit here, their eyes squinted, their eyes looking back and forth, their chin in the palm of their hand.
Hey, Google.
As they go through all of the permutations of what could have a tail and a head.
A coin.
But no body.
Ah.
It interrupted me.
Sorry. If I don't say it, I'll forget it.
I doubt that would have been the case. No impulse control, Paige. Paige Vosheim, no impulse control whatsoever.
A 2D die.
I never get riddles right. So I was just very excited.
I'm very proud of you. Good job. So Zuvus, eyes flash with understanding, and he says,
a coin.
Sorry, did you say Adrian a coin? The Calgary Flames defenseman from many years ago.
Lord.
The wall of force comes down. The Gyro Sphinx nods, and you may proceed forward or to the right.
I was gonna. Shall we go forward?
Yes. Let us proceed forward.
You trudge, barbarian, to the front. Thasis holding the barbarian's moon-touched sword. You proceed with the dim cast light of the moon-touched sword. Moving forward, you travel about 40 feet before the corridor opens up to your right to a round pool. But there is nothing in this room. It's just like an adjunct room that is only like a 10-foot in diameter circular area. The water is no deeper here than anywhere else. It still is about shin height. The corridor also then just continues on into the distance, opening up into a much larger, vast space. There does not appear to be anything interesting about this round circular cubby, I guess is what you could call it, connected to the corridor you're walking along. Do you pause or attempt to explore it at all? Or does the 20 foot down the way opening of to a larger room interest you more?
I think we should explore a little bit.
If you wish to, but to me there doesn't appear to be anything of interest in this room. But if you wish to examine it, by all means.
Nothing is of interest to you.
Fine.
You thought that the safe had popcorn in it.
Don't look to me the next time you need a ride.
Oh, you guys! Let's look around since you were so interested.
We look around.
Sure. All right, make a perception check.
I like walls. I got an 8.
I got a 4.
I guess. Yeah.
The least interested person gets the highest roll.
16.
Mm-hmm. You forced him to look.
Yeah, you're like, look, damn it.
In the middle of this little semicircular room that you're in, there is a small wheel set in the floor of the room. None of the others spot it or notice it, but you see it.
Does the wheel look like it's painted, or is it...
There's a wheel.
Okay. There appears to be a wheel on the floor of the room.
I'm sorry, a what?
A wheel.
Cool whip.
Are you referring to a wheel?
Yes, the circular things that are on
look,
carts.
Look, it's been very clearly indicated. You pronounce this H all the time because you are from hell. You've done this for every single WH word, period. However, the Triton is from a place where everything is completely underwater and all language would then be spoken through vocal cords that are pushing water out, which means it is impossible to aspirate any WH word. Literally, no aspirations can happen at any way, shape, or form anyway. So I'm going to suggest that this frustration that's happening here is cultural.
Probably. And I probably should have referred to it then as an eel. Just
it's a wheel. You don't have any what? What are you doing? There's no what. It's what. There's no yeah. You're an American. It's true.
What?
A Triton.
What?
Yes, the circular things on carts known as wheels.
I know you do that just to aggravate me.
Is it because you can't?
Probably.
Well,
wheel.
In any case, the
wheel. Wheel. Wheel.
And this
continues.
You just leave.
Okay.
Just go back down the corridor.
They're both very interesting. Okay. Can we turn the wheel? Wait, where are you going?
There's...
Vulcan!
Ahead is what appears to be a water-covered room with steps rising out of the muck on the far side.
All right, we're going into my kind of territory.
The room stretches out almost as far as your eyes can see. 60 feet away from you, it stretches 30 feet to the left and 30 feet to the right. It does have kind of a little jog to the wall to the right. But you can see almost directly across from you are stairs that lead up out of the water.
You know, water is not that kind to me, generally speaking.
Couldn't you just go from here to the steps? Isn't that a thing that you do?
Jumping?
What is that spell you have, the thing where you do and you're here and then all of a sudden you're over there? And
well, I only have so many of those. I don't want to waste them in case I need them.
Well, then I guess you're going in the water. Got him.
Vulcan's just, he's just going to keep walking towards the stairs. Just gonna keep moving forward.
Is the water get deep at any point, or is it just like covering our ankles?
So, not seeing anything, taking a moment at the beginning there, Vulcan then begins to proceed into the room.
Yes.
You move 10 feet into the room, and then the next step plunges you into deep, deep water. You were not able to discern was deeper. And as you begin to plunge deeply into the water, two humanoid-like figures in the dim darkness rise up from the water itself. I need a nature check from everybody, and the Triton has an advantage on the check.
I continue to roll well in that I got a 3. A negative 1. Oh my god, mermaids.
You're negative
no.
1?
No, I've got a 1.
A 1.
But
how did the Vulcan do as he flails into the water?
15.
Not bad.
15.
Equally not bad. Both of you determine these are plant creatures.
Oh.
From the water that are rising up. But if you want to know more, you have not actually succeeded at the check.
Can I talk to them?
Again, if you want to know more, you technically have not succeeded at the check yet. Are you using your flash of inspiration or whatever it is that you get for being an artificer?
Oh, I could do that. Yes.
Okay. So when and what is your full total then?
19.
With a 19 being a Triton, you know that these are Kelpies. They are sentient seaweed creatures and can shape themselves to suddenly appear to be humanoid type forms and can speak common and sylvan.
Cool.
Are these your cousins?
They got a 1. They can't see anything, obviously. I need Vulcan, though.
Oh, boy.
To make a saving throw. It is a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, of course it would be.
Uh-oh. Bye, Vulcan.
Oh, 21.
You are not swayed by whatever it is, the pheromones or some sort of image or psychedelics that are given off by these Kelpies that do not overcome you at all. You just flounder into the water. You're very strong and very capable, though. So you pump your wings once and pull yourself back into the water there. I mean, otherwise you would have fallen into 15 foot deep. But your character is so strong and so capable. You hang on and you're standing there.
Hello there. What are your names?
Okay, I would like you to now also make a wisdom saving throw.
That's how Zubas flirts. Hey, girl.
I was going to call them Kelpies, but I was like, that's probably not very nice. So,
ladies and gentlemen, this is the new
Sacha Baron Cohen
character. Hey, what are your names?
10.
You failed.
Oh my god.
You are immediately drawn to these two Kelpies, hypnotized by them, and they lure you into the pool itself.
Good thing I can breathe underwater.
It's going to be so awkward when you bring home a Kelpie girlfriend.
Yeah. It's frowned upon, but we're trying to make it more acceptable.
They are beautiful, scintillating, glowing in a variety of colors as they draw you into the water to them. The one that has done this to you, though, is looking at you. Ooh, yeah, come to me. I am a beautiful creature for you. The other one, though, slaps it on its shoulder, which is really weird because, like, it doesn't even have a shoulder, like, slaps it with the back of its hand on the shoulder and points and says in the Sylvan language. Does anybody speak Sylvan?
No.
Nope.
That's a no.
So it sounds like the tinkling of bells and tiny cymbals.
Pretty.
Yeah, but the expression on the face of this plant, because again, it is just all the same seaweed. Its face could be its knee. There's no differential between the two. But the expression on the face of this creature is one of worry as it smacks the other one and points at Zuvus, who flounces into the water and is now in this 15-foot deep pool. Having not had to make a saving throw or pulled yourself back from the brink, what is Thesis up to?
Hey, Zuvus, I don't think the time to flirt with the...
Bloosh, Zuvus is in yeah. the water and cannot hear you. Their oh. head is under the water.
And we can't see Zuvus in the water, right? It's too dark?
It's dark, yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell. Your dark vision allows you to sight. You can kind of see them beneath the waves, but it's not waves. I mean, the water.
I can see the shapes kind of thing, right?
Kind of, yeah.
What okay. Thasis think is going on? Zuvus is like sexually frustrated or something and like wants to take it out because of how much flirting that they've been having with Vulcan. I ship this, by the way.
I don't.
Enemies to lovers, it's very classic.
Fire and water.
Get away from me. I'm going to Eldritch Blast the Kelpie.
Okay, though you don't know which one has drawn.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me.
Roll to attack.
I feel like they could have been nice to us.
I got nothing. I have nothing I can do. Oh, a 15, sorry. It might have been more than that.
You have hit.
11.
Okay, done 11 points of damage. This is not a small blow to this Kelpie. It looks at you with anger. Everyone roll initiative.
That makes sense.
What did everybody get?
21.
Kate, you go first, unless you roll better.
I only got 13.
All right, you go second.
I'm going to yell at them and be like, let him go.
So you yell out in common, let him go at the creature. Make a persuasion check or intimidation check or what?
Probably intimidation at this point.
Okay.
18.
The injured Kelpie puts their hands up and says, why are you shoot us?
Let my friend go. He has no time to do a date.
They look at each other. Okay, that's your turn. What do you want to do?
I'm going to go into the water and try and get Zuvus out.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you leap into the water.
Yes.
Zuvus is like motionless in the water, looking at the one Kelpie who's looking back at Zuvus. On the second Kelpie's turn, you dive into the water. You're not floundering in it. It's your winged creature in the water. It's probably not super easy to be a winged creature swimming. Just trying to picture that. Like a bald eagle, not a super great swimmer.
I make efforts.
Make a saving throw.
Okay.
A wisdom saving throw.
Oh, good. My best score. And I say that sarcastically. You're right. It's 12.
You have succeeded. Fortunately, as the Kelpie scintillates and gives off effervescences and whatnot as the undulating plant life moves but does not sway you.
Super interesting dance.
Back to the top of the round. What do you do? Normally, you'd have to make saving throws at this point, Zuvus, but because you can breathe underwater, you're just like breathing normally and just kind of like hanging out.
Yeah.
No time has passed for you.
It's very peaceful.
Yeah. You stepped into the water and now you're just kind of floating there underneath and checking out this cool light show. Back to the top of the round.
I don't drown either, so I will jump in the water and go and try and get Zuvus out.
Okay. Yeah. You see Zuvus is hanging out under the water looking at the Kelpie. You leap into the water.
Yeah, leap into the water and go down.
What do you do?
I'm going to go and try and shake Zuvus.
All right. You shake Zuvus. Does not seem to sway or change Zuvus's mind on this. Is there anything else you'd like you to do with your turn?
No.
And Vulcan.
I assume it would be a pretty hard check for me to grab Zuvus and try and pull her out of the, or pull him out of the water.
So you're swimming there next to Zuvus, you know, pull Zuvus
out of the water. See if that kind of breaks their trance.
You can pull Zuvus out of the water. Yeah, you pull Zuvus out of the water.
Okay.
Does not break the trance on Zuvus. Anything else you'd like to do?
No, nothing else that I've got that might be able to help.
All right, Zuvus remains transfixed. No one's talking to the Kelpies. So it's the Kelpie's turn, and you're in the water. Thasis, I need you to make a wisdom saving throw again.
11.
You have saved by the skin of your teeth. That is exactly the needed number to save. It is literally a 50-50. A flip of a coin, if you will. The thing that has head and tail but no body. And you have succeeded again. Top of the round, what would you like to do?
Try and get myself out.
All right, make an athletics check. Very easy athletics check to swim and climb out of the water.
7.
That is more than enough for you to get out of the water. Anything else you'd like to do on your turn?
Well, I don't really want to hurt them anymore. That was kind of like a gut reaction. So dragging Zuvus away is probably what we want to do.
Okay. Yeah. While you were under, you saw that the path continues around the edge of the pool that you're in, and you proceed to begin dragging Zuvus along this path. There is a 10-foot jump that has to be made. Both of you have extremely prodigious strengths. It is not a hard thing for you to jump it, even in 1 foot water. However, this other Kelpie is going to continue to try to charm and mesmerize at least one of you every single round.
Back off! Stop it! Let us go! Stop playing to flirt with my friend, okay?
Roll a wisdom saving throw, Thasis.
I'm captured.
All right, Thasis stops moving, staring mesmerized at the Kelpie. You're all alone, Vulcan. Everybody else seems to be completely
mesmerized
by these two Kelpies. The two Kelpies maintain their focus and intentions on these two characters, trying to draw them into the water, which, you know, isn't a problem because neither of these two characters have any problem breathing or not breathing in water. You're the issue. Like, they could pull you in and drown you. But they didn't target you, fortunately, other than the one time. Your friends are non-responsive. What do you do?
So I'm going to try and talk to one of the Kelpies. Kelpies, we do not mean you any harm or, well, that first part was a mistake. But we do not mean you any further harm. We just wish to pass through and find Caraptus, who we do wish harm to.
Lure you in.
No, I'm good, thanks.
Lure you in. Eat your flesh. Hide your shinies.
No, I'd prefer my flesh on. It's already been eaten, and he shows
you
them.
You can go. Give us other two.
Despite popular belief, I do consider the doll thing and the Triton thing as companions of mine.
Triton is terrible predator. Eat our kind as delicacy. Push him in.
Is there anything else I can offer you so I can keep the Triton with me and we can continue onward?
Wish to be real people, not seaweed facsimile.
Do you got anything else that I can offer you?
We explain truest wish you disregard.
Well, I don't know how to respond to that. They want to be real people, but I don't have that ability. Do I look like Geppetto?
Want someone to swipe left on Nori app.
Oh, God. I'm going to need some help. I'm stuck.
Guys, you want to help Aaron out?
Please, for the love of Christ.
It's like they want a wish.
They want to be real people.
I was trying to see if I could, like, if he negotiated with them to let me go, if I could, or if I had the ability to make them look like a person temporarily while we escaped. But prestidigitation isn't that strong.
No, it'd be like minor illusion or whatnot.
Yeah.
I have minor illusion. Yep.
There you go.
Yeah, but feels a little...
It's not genuine.
Yeah.
It's disingenuous.
Yeah.
I honestly have no idea.
That's where I was at.
We have connections with people who could make them real people once we're out of the dungeon safely.
The Raven Queen accepts all.
Like, look, I'm just the bashy, bashy, smashy, smashy, slashy, yeah, slashy guy. These other two, they're much better at the magic. If you could just let them go, I'll totally make them stay here and we can figure this out.
Yeah. So if you release the Construct and the Triton, we have contacts who can turn you into real people once we have dispatched Caraptus.
Okay, you leave both here.
No, I need both with me. I need them to beat Caraptus.
You take one. We keep other as surety.
If I leave you shinies, will that suffice instead of leaving both?
Do you leave the shiny one? And it points to Thasis.
No, I leave money.
They do not look like they comprehend any sort of element of fiscal responsibility. That doesn't mean anything to them.
Damn it. Can I show them my great axe and kind of reflect the light off of it and be like, ooh, shiny.
Ooh, there's no light in the room, really, other than your moon-touched sword, which is still in the hand of Thasis. Why don't you roll a persuasion check at this point?
Okay.
Are you debating about spending your blue?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, YOLO.
Wow. Aaron spends the blue. He just earned this round.
I need it.
He's got advantage on his check.
They're both sixes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's a six and a six.
It's either eight or eight.
You can see that they don't really have much wiggle room here of trust. So your persuasion has to do with trust, and you haven't informed them how they can trust you yet. Also, you're very positive. They said the Triton eats their kind as a delicacy, which is super terrible if you think about it. But they don't seem to be too concerned about Thasis. You've kept them long enough that they tell you they're going to let these two go, but that you will stay and talk, get through. And as long as you pledge truthfulness to keeping the other two here to talk it through with the Kelpies, they're fine with letting these two go.
Okay.
You are released. The angle of the room is completely different. You don't have any recollection of anything you were in the middle of, like trying to move your way around and make the jump. You obviously made the jump, but anything that's after that, you don't have any recollection. It's just like a snap of a finger. You come to.
I look at my compatriots, confused. The basic instincts of the flesh are unenjoyable. I don't know what happened.
These are Kelpies.
Mm-hmm.
It's been over 100 years. I mean, it is within your lifetime that Tritons did capture and eat Kelpie as a delicacy that has since been outlawed due to the rise of teens for Kelpie rights, which was then put into the legislature and adopted by, I was trying to think of a really cool seaweedy plant-like politician name that I could like take a real politician and meld it into
C. Plankton.
Bernie Sargassum.
Yeah, Bill Plankton.
Ralph Nori instead of Nader.
Seaweed has a lot of really terribly complicated names. And one of the best names for seaweed is kelp, and that's already a thing. So
I like Nori. That was a good one. She said Ralph Nori.
Al Gior.
Oh, I like that. I like that one.
Al Gior. That's great. Let's go with it. That's great.
I like that one.
Al Gior.
Spearheaded in the legislature by Al Gior.
And he did this like spoken word tour talking about how the destruction of the sea and its environments spelled the end of the world.
Obviously, these Kelpies have no idea that that's happened and how protected and part of Triton culture they are now. There's even a Kelpie in office, whatever that means in Triton land. These are things you know.
Yep.
You come to, see there's Kelpies before you. You have no idea what's been going on, though.
Well, I would know that they have this like hypnotizing ability, right?
No. No, you don't.
Oh.
Because they have not been using it or doing it.
Oh, interesting. I am not entirely sure how I got from there to here. However, it's very nice to see some friendly faces and a familiarity of home.
You may need to explain to them why they are friendly, because they do not find you friendly at all.
What on earth? What do you mean?
Apparently, according to them, they are quite a delicacy to the Triton race.
That was outlawed over 100 years ago.
You may want to smooth that over with. Oh, yes. The law passed by Al Gior outlawing Kelpies for consumption.
You know? Okay, I'm pretty sure we need to have a different discussion. How do you know so much about our laws and legislations that were passed over 100 years ago when your minuscule mind hadn't even been developed yet?
I moonlight as a legal scholar.
Don't forget, you hate him because he killed a bunch of people. So no doubt he like...
I
tortured them or listened to their histories before killing them.
I took a Barbary legal handbook on Triton law.
As much as I dislike you and your past indiscretions against my people, you keep me curious about your knowledge. But yes, that is correct. Kelpies are a very big part of our lives now, and it is very wrong to even have a thought about consuming one.
Make a persuasion check.
Okay. 15?
Yeah. One of the Kelpies is like, wait, what? And the other Kelpie is like, what, wait? They talk to each other with tinkles and cymbals. They're like, tell more.
Do you know how long you've been down here?
They look at each other. What is time? Many sproutings, many offshoots.
Well, over 100 years ago, when I was a very young Triton.
Can't be too young. You look very good for age.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, my ex-girlfriend was a Kelpie.
What? How?
Anyways, there was a very big conflict, and there was a group that was created, Teens for Kelpie Rights, and it was a movement to give Kelpies rights and a place in our society and to protect them from those who would wish them harm.
Kelpie and Triton, natural enemies.
We no longer are. Now we...
What?
We attend one of
our... Wait!
Yes.
Paradigm, foundation of life, mentally shift. Tinkle, tinkle, symbol, symbol. No one understands Sylvan. What is the name of this first Kelpie?
Nori.
Sure, what is the name of the other Kelpie?
Saibong.
It literally sounds like two symbols clinking, right? Saibong, Nori, Saibong.
Yeah, there
like
you go.
That. Yeah.
Ah.
See, pretty sure we just created Pokemon.
See, he finally likes something I said.
Yeah, I did. I had to revise it, but I'm really happy with that. Saibong wants sea. New culture, new society. Saibong wants place in Stillpool.
We can absolutely give you that as long as we succeed and can get you out of here. I think you'd be very welcomed in our community.
Nori, so far from ocean, how get?
Well, you can't be out of water. How did you get brought here?
Very small. Parents, come. We descendants.
Ah. I wonder if we found some sort of container and filled it with water and carried you to
you
the...
You do?
I'm sure we could find something.
Are you genuine in that interest?
Yeah.
All right, roll a persuasion check.
I think especially with being like a paladin.
Are you helping?
Yeah, I'll help.
I mean, you knew all that stuff, so you're going to give advantage to your friend here.
I think being a paladin of the sea is like part of my...
Yeah, this is genuinely a paladin of the seas thing.
17.
Do you want to make that any better, or are you happy with a 17?
I feel like 17's a really good roll.
It's up to you. I won't tell you if you're successful in the future.
How many times can you use Flash Genius?
I have three. I'll use one, sure.
Oh, wow. You are assuredly successful. Great job. 21 is an insanely good check. And the Kelpies believe you. Shower you with the shinies that are within their place to help you get the funds needed to help them get out.
The still pool will even be rent controlled.
There's 600 gold pieces, there's wow. Jewelry worth 2,000 gold pieces, and there happens to be a suit of chainmail armor.
Oh.
Does anyone wear chainmail armor?
I think, don't you wear?
I wear half plate.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
So I guess I could.
So this chainmail armor is +1 chainmail armor. I don't know if it's better than your half plate. So, chainmail would give you an armor class of 17. Half plate gives you an armor class of 17.
Yeah.
Both have disadvantage on stealth checks, but...
The chain's probably lighter, isn't it?
Well, it's also magical, and it is actually heavier.
Oh.
Half plate has normally an armor class of 15 plus a dex modifier of maximum 2. There is no dex modifier for chainmail armor, just naturally an armor class of 16, but this is magic. Unfortunately, though, you're not strong enough to wear it. You're loaded up with these things. You can leave them off to one side if you would like to or not. The Kelpie are overjoyed. They blossom and sprout with their exuberance. and you leave them in the pool as you climb the stairs to head to the next room.
But
what lies in that room, what pitfalls and traps you will encounter, will have to be experienced right now, because we need really need more content.
That's funny.
No, next time.
Next session.
Oh, that would have been funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Raise your glass and drink with the enemy. Raise your glass and sing with the enemy. And I'm not gonna do this on my own. And raise your glass and toast to the enemy. Raise your glass and sing to the enemy. And I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com, or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.